Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is an extra episode of Paranormal Stories. This episode I'm reading from Edson Freeman's book, Strange Light, Personal Accounts of UFOs, NDEs and Other Enduring Mysteries. When I have guests on my podcast, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. When reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast, and here I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I've put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record this extract, and the author kindly said yes. I'm going to be reading from a section of the book titled Case Files, and this is number 2, Jasmine. And this is what Edson has written. For Jasmine and her family, the line between past and present seemed to blur and shift like the shadows at dusk. Her childhood home, a weather-worn farmhouse on the edge of a small Ohio town, never let its age go unnoticed. With its creaking floors and shadowy corners, the old house held its secrets close. 3 generations lived under that roof, all aware that the veil was thinner here than it ought to be. One of the most unsettling features was what Jasmine described as a dungeon-like detached storm cellar. Visible from the large front window in the living room, the heavy cellar doors would soon become a source of inexplicable events, ultimately challenging her perception of reality. Once, while passing the living room's picture window, she noticed the cellar doors standing open, doors she was certain had been closed moments before. These massive, bulky doors couldn't be moved quickly or silently. Yet seconds later, when she looked again, they were closed. "It was so strange, like something playing with me," she says. On another occasion, Jasmine's nieces, who were about 5 or 6 at the time, were playing in the woods behind the house. They came running back into the house, terrified, saying they'd seen men walking through the woods, with one on horseback, dressed like toy soldiers and covered in blood. This would be the first of many chilling encounters the family would experience with these toy soldiers. Jasmine's grandmother, Maria, had an uncannily similar experience after seeing several men dressed in blooded Civil War-era uniforms walking the perimeter of their property. Were they stray reenactors walking back from an overly realistic event, or the spirits of long-dead soldiers returning home from Camp Dennison 1.5 centuries later? To Maria, the men seemed to be a real physical presence, seemingly more solid than the spirits or ghosts she'd sometimes seen drifting across their property. With family roots stretching back to the Philippines, their Catholic faith mixed with folk traditions and a belief in the spiritual realm. Jasmine explains, "Culturally speaking, Filipinos have this. It's more of a shamanic belief system, so it's kind of like a marriage between Catholicism and a nature-driven belief system." This unique cultural background provided a framework for understanding the unexplainable, even if it didn't make the experiences any less unsettling. Even so, Maria didn't like talking about what she had seen. Perhaps she was trying to protect her grandchildren, or maybe she was grappling with her understanding of these otherworldly encounters. Whatever the reason, a silence only added to the mystique of their paranormal experiences. Yet the one story she did share, quietly and only once, would shape the family's lore forever. One of her sons had gone off to war, posted far from their village. One day he showed up at home unexpectedly, telling her that he'd just stopped by to say goodbye, but he couldn't stay. "You just got here, don't be rude, come in. It's so good to see you," Maria insisted. "I'm sorry, I have to go," he replied. And as suddenly as he'd arrived, he was gone. Minutes later, a telegram arrived. Her son had been killed in action 1 week earlier. Since then, the family has retold the story as quiet evidence that, now and then, the boundary between the living and the dead can all but dissolve. The thinning of the veil seemed to follow them halfway around the world. After the family left the Philippines and resettled in an old farmhouse in rural Ohio, the strangeness followed them. Jasmine and her family began hearing and seeing things almost nightly. The sound of a crying baby echoing through the house became a regular occurrence, yet there was no baby in the family. One afternoon, she was coming down the driveway. She saw the curtains in the big picture window get swept to one side, then swept back again. When she went inside, the house was empty. Perhaps most unsettling were the sounds coming from above her bedroom. "I would hear voices in the attic all the time," she says. "It was like conversational murmuring, but creepy." Over time, her acceptance grew, but the murmurs just became part of her life. These uncanny experiences shaped her worldview as the light of a greater reality began to shine through the crack in the facade of the mundane. And yet, with that light, there was also darkness. 100 miles away from the creaking floors of the old farmhouse, Jasmine came face to face with that darkness. As she lay alone in her dorm room one afternoon, she opened her eyes to see an 8-foot-tall, slender shadow figure looming over her. When she looked to see what could be casting such a shadow, a disturbing, dark shape suddenly began moving toward her with strange, unnatural movements. The fear in her voice was palpable as she recounted the experience. "I kind of closed my eyes, then I suddenly heard this rumbling, almost thunderous sound," she recalled. "Then I opened my eyes and saw this thing that seemed to be at least 8 feet tall, slowly moving creepily towards me from across the room." She cautiously peeked out from under the blanket, Hail Marys and Our Fathers tumbling from her lips, only to realise the shadow entity was now right next to her. "I could only see from the shoulders down," she says. "It was like this dangly slender thing, and all of a sudden it was extremely cold." She continued to pray until the entity was gone, leaving behind a residue of icy fear. The experience shook her to her core, challenging everything she thought she knew. After this harrowing experience, Jasmine reached out to one person she thought might understand, a new friend, a kindred spirit whose path intertwined with her own. He told her he had a weird experience of his own to share, and when they met the next day, her eyes widened as he told his story before she told hers. "He had the same thing happen to him," she recalls, "and we just kind of sat there, staring at each other. We didn't know what to do with ourselves." He was a mirror image of her own story, and a connection of profound, unsettling synchronicity between them. She slowly began to accept that her experiences were not random, and she possessed a genuine connection to another realm or dimensional reality. Seeking to understand her abilities, Jasmine enrolled in specialized courses about 5 years ago. Rather than traditional academic studies, she pursued spiritual psychology at what she describes as a witchy school, staffed by professional psychologists who taught personal development alongside metaphysical practices. In one class, the assignment was designed to test remote viewing skills. The instructor had several sealed envelopes, each containing a random photo clipped from a magazine. Each student was to take an envelope, then try to visualize the enclosed photograph. When Jasmine's turn came to share what she'd envisioned, all she could perceive was some obscure objects and fragmented words. The instructor opened the envelope and told her she was way off. Nothing she described related to the photo. She felt discouraged until the instructor realized everything Jasmine had described was on the backside of the clipping. Thinking back to her instructor's reaction, Jasmine says, "She was blown away. She was like, this is a first. I've never had anybody do that before." Even Jasmine was amused and slightly puzzled by her own experience. "It's usually about the focal point, so I guess it means that it's just the way I work, kind of backwards and upside down," she recalls with a laugh. A turning point for her, this experience validated her unique abilities and showed her there was still much to learn about the nature of her gifts. It also emphasized the importance of being open to unexpected results and interpretations in the realm of psychic abilities. As her awareness continued to expand, she dreamed of catastrophes before they happened, sketching out the grim tableaus in her mind's eye. As her gifts grew stronger, so too did the weight of her fragmented visions of tragedy and loss. She saw faces of the missing and the murdered, their final moments manifesting in a physical ache in her chest. Today I was reading from Edson Freeman's book, Strange Light, Personal Accounts of UFOs, NDEs, and Other Enduring Mysteries. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. And my book on verified near-death experiences is out on Amazon, and you can get it on paperback, audiobook, and Kindle. A great way to support the podcast is to sign up to Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/ourparanormalafterlife, or click on the button on my homepage, pastliveshypnosis.co.uk. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.